The Spinoff Podcast Network. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q Quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix podcast. Tune in today.
Everybody, and welcome to the very late April episode of On The Rag. Very sorry, it is basically the middle of May. I don't know where we are, what we're doing, but we are back. I'm joined today by Leonie, as always.
Kia ora.
And we have a new person in the chair. Michelle is jazz-handsing away in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Eating a lot of beignets. so we have Alice Nedden. Yay!
Hi. Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, get that applause on the mic, please.
It was a golf clap. So Alice is half of Boners of the Heart.
That's right.
Which is...
3/4 of it, I'd say.
Brutal. Yeah. And for people who don't know who you are or what that podcast is, can you give us a little breakdown?
Yeah, it's myself and Rose Matafeo, and we pick kind of like celebrities each week to objectify. And usually they're like slightly weirder or sometimes more obscure celebrities who maybe you wouldn't traditionally be like into. Or then sometimes they're not. Like, we've done Leonardo DiCaprio. So there is no rhyme or reason to the podcast.
Yeah.
It's hard to, it's not hard to explain, but I'm sure it's hard to listen to. it's
good.
Yeah, it's cool. It's just us, basically. And then it goes off on tangents and we have fake callers in and yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's good fun. I like it a lot.
You fight sometimes as well, which I quite like.
It's yes, we do.
Antagonistic.
I know it is. I mean, we are good friends in real life, but I'd say that our relationship is antagonistic for sure. And also, I think, I don't know, people fight.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do we have a fight?
They
today?
Are the most fun friendships, the ones where you can tell people to fuck up.
And yes. And we're really
wrong.
We're testing it at the moment because she's sleeping in my room while she's here. For the comedy festival.
Testing those limits.
Yeah, in like a little cot next to my bed.
Like a baby's cot.
Basically a baby's cot. I got it off my 2-year-old niece. It's like her trundle bed.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. But so far, so good. No huge bust-ups.
That's great to know. And you also write a column. Now, how frequent is your column for Sunday Star Times?
Fortnightly.
Yeah. And one of your most recent ones, which was, well, they're always good. I'll just say that right now.
Oh,
you were talking shit about yourself off mic. But the most recent one was, why do we make young girls ashamed of their bodies? Kind of going off the Pharmac decision and the recent, all the hubbub that's been happening around periods.
Yeah.
And you kind of shared some very frank stories about your journey to your path to womanhood, as your mum put it.
My mum put it. Yeah, I did. Do you know what? Sometimes I write, I don't know if this is like what it's like with you, but sometimes I'll write stuff and then you'd completely forget about what you put in it. And then I'll be surprised. I'll be like, oh, shit, I shared that. But with this, it's fine. Yeah. I think I talked about getting my first period because it was weird because my mum was away. She did a theology degree at Notre Dame. So she would go for like 3-month or like 2-month kind of concentrated periods of time and then come back and sit all the exams. And I got my period while she was away and my older brother was looking after me and my dad. And so that was my experience of it. So I think the thing you're talking about, she sent me an animated email with like a great.
I noticed you say there and not ECAD.
Oh,
there
ECAD. Oh, I don't know.
Is this a different strata?
I'm still on electronic mail. I don't know.
A facsimile.
Yeah. She sent me a fax. And if you flipped the pages really quickly, it was animated. yeah, with you're on your path to womanhood. Oh boy,
it's really amazing.
So, what was the picture of?
It was like of like a little girl walking down a path.
Oh, mum.
Yeah,
because she wearing red. Nice. She had a red cloak or anything.
I don't know that she did. I don't know where mum would have got it from. I'm sure that that is like the most advanced thing she'd ever done on a computer to yeah. date when she did that. But she was so gutted to miss it. Like she, because I was her last child. I think she felt of it as like her big moment. And she wasn't there for it, you know? Yeah, I know.
It's a real shame. Before we share our stories, which is, by the way, what we've decided to do this episode, we're just going to go all in. If you don't want it, then switch off, because there's going to be there's gonna be a lot of blood happening.
Leave now.
Talking of that, shout out to Bon for sponsoring our podcast. Nearly forgot.
Young girls, if you're about to start your path to womanhood,
you need
Bon tampons in your life.
Organic. New Zealand made, beautiful packaging.
Yeah.
Sturdy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a Bon tampon box?
Are they the white package with the... Mm-hmm. Nope. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Beautiful long brown recycled paper.
Like a cylinder.
Okay,
like
in cylinder. That case, I have it.
great to reuse as a pencil case.
Oh, great.
Yeah. They're really cool.
I can't wait.
Yeah. You got to check them out. We've got some in the toilet.
Oh, good.
On your way out.
Lots of benefits to using organic tampons as well. Organic cotton tampons. Lots of health benefits.
No nasties.
No nasties.
And they donate one packet to the Women's Refuge for every packet that you buy.
Oh, that's great.
So on the kind of the note of what we're going to be talking about, keep that in mind next time you're
on your path to womanhood.
You believe it. How did it happen for you, Leonie?
My mum was gone too.
She was
on her honeymoon.
Oh, wow.
My mum got remarried just before I turned like 12. It was like summer or something. And I was staying at my best friend's house. And her mum was like really lovely, like a mum from a book lovely.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't too bad. But it was quite early for me because I was like an early developer in all ways. So I was really gutted. I wasn't like a yay, this is finally happening. It was like a holy shit, I'm the first in my class kind of a situation. So I cried for ages, and my friend was like, I don't get why you're crying. Like, isn't this what you want? Isn't this what we want? Isn't this the point of everything? And she was like, I think maybe jealous. But I was like, you can be jealous all you want. I don't want it. I want to be a kid still.
You can have it.
And this is like being thrust upon me against my will. And I was pissed, actually.
But you knew what it was. It wasn't like I'm crying because I'm bleeding out of my fucking
body.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't something I didn't know about. My mum was like painfully honest about these things.
Yeah.
I actually really hated talking about these things with her because like mum's good at talking about this stuff because she was a nurse, but she would try and be like too casual about it, and it would be like talking about it with like your teacher.
Right.
And I just found it really mortifying. And she would, because she was a nurse, she'd use the correct name for things. So she'd say vulva instead of vagina. And I don't know why, but it always made me like shrivel up inside and die. I mean, vulva is a perfectly normal word now, but I just, as a kid, I was like, don't talk to me again.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, mum.
Yeah.
Well, I had almost no conversation.
Really?
At all. And maybe when mine, I got mine before a pool party, of all things.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, ah.
Togs.
And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just didn't do anything. Just let it happen. I don't know. I'm sorry, everyone I shared a pool with that day, but there was something happening in the water.
Oh, my God.
That's I'm so sharing a lot today that I've never told anyone.
Funny. Shit, that's funny. Listen, if this makes you feel better, when I was like 9 years old, I thought I got my period. And then I had to have my mum like check, and I just had chafed my thighs. I was like, it's happening. She was like, no, your chubby little legs have just created a bunch of friction that your body is fixing.
How much blood?
Oh, it wasn't a lot. Like, I didn't, like, because I didn't really know what to expect. Like, I had definitely been talked through it, but like, even when I got my period, I remember like, I called up my sister being like, does it come at night?
Yeah.
Do I have to deal with it at night too?
Yeah.
And like saying to my friend, being like, I'm sorry, I can't do swimming anymore. Because in my mind I was like, you've got it forever.
Yeah.
This is your life.
Every day.
Yeah. I remember I was so mortified when I had it that I was like, honestly, this is fucked up. I used to, like, if there was ever, you know, like, bleed through any stained clothes or underpants, I used to hoard them. I used to hoard them and put them in a bucket under the house.
Oh my God.
No, this is like a serial killer. And pour bleach on them and then just leave them.
What, for
just forever?
See,
to just come just, this, like, disgusting
it goes to show, form. Like, you can have these conversations with kids, but you've got to be thorough. Mm. You've got to, like, from beginning to end, describe the process and what to do. Because the getting rid of stuff thing, I think, is like really under-addressed by parents. Because really struggled with that as well. It's like, because you have to use those massive pads for ages when you first start getting your period because you can't put in a tampon.
Mm. Mm.
And like the nighttime ones or like the beginning of your period ones, like the size of a freaking Adidas jumper.
So big.
Like I was sort of told, like, you know, don't use toilet paper to wrap them up because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And so here's some newspaper or whatever. And it's like, and I know it's dumb that my mum had to finish that thought, but she didn't. So I was like, well, now it's wrapped up. What do I do? I can't put it in the bin because people will see that it's my pad. So I just like had this plastic bag in a drawer.
Yes.
Full of wrapped up pads that my mum found one day and was like, what the hell is this? Just put them in the bin. I was like, but you never told me to. I didn't know.
It was like, my mum found my bleach bucket. It was a confronting situation.
Oh my God. Did she say?
She was like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I was just bleaching everything.
My shame.
I love that you had like the wherewithal though to get the bleach. And like, how did you do it? Did you have to do it in stages? Like, first I'll take the bucket, and then one by one I'll take the underwear down. And then when no one's around, that's when I'll get the bleach.
In the dead of the night.
In the dead of the night.
It's now when I look back, I'm like, that is the craziest thing I've ever done. But at the time I was like, well, I guess this is what everyone's doing.
This must be, right?
Oh, no.
It's crazy. And my mum was, I think, to be fair, quite, like, upset. Like, I don't know, that she hadn't, it hadn't been a situation like that. She did leave just, like, a giant supermarket bag with pads in it on my pillow one night, and I was like, thank you. That was about the extent of our conversation.
Wow. But, yeah.
That's, I know, crazy. And my mum's a hardcore feminist, but she's also Scottish and very prudish. So
right. So had she just assumed that school had already told you everything you needed to know?
I think so. And they may have, but, you know, you never really take most of health in. Like, you
it's
want
true.
It from the home.
Yeah. I think there's something weird about health class in that you, like, you don't want to be the kid who's too attentive.
That's true.
So, like, you kind of got to play it cool, but you don't really know anything.
Yeah.
And you also don't want to be the kid who doesn't know something.
Mm.
Like, oh, God, I remember being taught about, like, I remember the time when I realized that where you pee out of and your vagina, those are two different things.
Yeah.
Like, that blew my mind because she was like, okay, when you've got a tampon in, can you pee? And everyone went, yeah. And I went, no. Because I was that confident that I was right.
Oh,
I think I was
God.
Like 10 or something. It was too late to learn that.
Yeah.
Too late.
Oh my God. Do you have any other horror stories? Because there's always, like, obviously when you're first getting used to it, everything just goes wrong and it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
but I'm still, like, I've been dealing with this for over 10 years and there are still days where I'm like, I am probably covered in blood right now.
I still get that fear. Yeah. Whenever you sit down, I get that fear. Even though I know in my rational mind, I'm like, there's a bloody pool under me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though
the phantom one as well.
It's
it's just hot.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just sitting in litres and litres of my own menstrual blood. And then you stand up and there's nothing there and it's like a fucking celebration.
It's like a second chance at life when that happens. You're like, everything from now on is going to be so good.
It's all going to be okay.
It's such a funny thing to do. I remember when I was 16, I did Outward Bound and our watch was 16 girls and someone got their period like on day two. And then it just started a chain reaction, and then everyone had their period for like the whole time.
That's incredible.
Oh, right. And wow, like an instant synchronization. I thought that it just happened over time.
Well, whatever it was, I think it was like the intensity of the experience. And just like all of those, like we were sleeping together, spending all day together, you had no distractions. So you were just like bonding the entire time. I have pictures of like, when we were out on the boat for like 3 days, because there's no cover to change your tampon. So we had like these big, like penguin weather jackets everyone would just like put one on and then like go underneath to do it. It was
crazy.
Yeah, it was very. Now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that's fucked up.
Wait, so there's no toilet on one of those boats?
It was a sailboat. So it was like a big sailboat for like 16 people that we were like sailing through the sounds. It was like one of the things. Yeah, and there's no toilet on it, it's just a bucket. Hardcore, y'all. Yeah.
That's really hardcore.
Yeah,
that's
but I think intense. It got me over a lot of like the anxiety or embarrassment of it.
Yeah.
So just like thrown into that.
Yeah. I guess you would like figure out pretty quickly that bodily functions don't really matter that much in the greater scheme of things.
No. And also it was just like all, you know, girls who were also on the same page just because like everyone had their period.
Wow. I would like to know more about synchronization. It's a pretty fascinating phenomenon.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I read this book. It was actually just called Cunt. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No. I wouldn't read a book titled that.
It's a bit rude. I was like, even not going to say it. She has this whole bit, which is like, it's a bit preachy in parts, like a bit like, be natural, don't use birth control, whatever, it's fine. But she's like, once you get back to like just being on a natural cycle, this whole thing about like looking at the lunar calendar.
Yeah.
And I still, maybe I'm stupid, but what's going on there? What's going on between the moon and a period? Nothing?
No.
Tides?
No,
there's something. Is it gravity? Is it? It's definitely something, because for a while I was definitely synced with the full moon.
Mm.
So I would like be crying and then I'd look up and see the full moon and I'd be like, fucking hell.
Start howling out the window. Yeah.
It's basically what it is. I feel like my body is like clockwork. If I'm crying about something that I know in my mind I shouldn't be crying about, I'm like, it's coming.
Yeah. See, I wish I had that. I still don't. I'm just like, I was saying to Leonie before, I now know. Well, it's more like my boyfriend can tell me, because I have no idea what day it is or what, you know, time of the month or anything. And it happens because once a month I'll want to move to a farm. I'll start looking and be like, maybe it's time to just go. Maybe I just need to leave the city and like plant a pumpkin and everything will be fine. And then he's like, hold on, think about what time it is. And I was like, 2 days later, I'm like, hey. It all makes sense. But like, it's crazy. Wow. The PMS that I get is so all encompassing and blinding that I can't see outside myself. And I'm just like, this is the end. I have to start a new life.
Yeah.
Which is mental.
Yeah. Same though, I reckon. Although lately I've been like, how long does PMS last for? Like, how much time?
What happens when you've had it for 3 months?
Because I genuinely feel I'm affected by my period 3 weeks out of the month. I'm like, it's the week before, the week of, the week after.
You get like 2 nice days.
Yeah, I get 2 days where I'm a good person.
I'm super emotional just all the time. So I've just always got 1 foot in the door.
Yeah, so maybe that's just me as well.
It's really hard to tell if like a PMS trigger is just like cute dog or actually I like all animal videos make me cry anyway because I'm a loser, but like I will know that it's PMS related if it's just like 2 seconds into a video and literally all you've seen is just like a dad and his son. They've done nothing yet. My brain is already filled in the next 2 minutes of this heartwarming video and I'm just in tears.
Oh, one time I was watching, and I don't know why I was doing it, but I was watching videos of Jim Hickey's last day presenting the news. I was just like bawling my eyes out. I was like, that's this is so intense. Moving. I stand by it. Yeah, it is moving.
Just if you want to just something to get it all out. My go-to for ages was dogs being reunited with, military veterans.
No. airport reunions.
No.
I once cried at a photo of a volcano that looked like it had a smiley face. Like the lava was cracking through and I was like, nature is beautiful. So it's just cool.
It is strange though. Like I've just been thinking about it so much lately about like, do you guys ever worry like how much can I trust myself? Like
based on
like what's, because it used to, when I was a teenager, my mum, if I was ever in a stroppy mood, would be always be like, are you about to get your period? And it would just like drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Mm. But I know that she's right, because now I'm an adult. I'm like, I know it definitely affects me.
Yeah. And this is what's frustrating about that, right, is like part of me wants to own my PMS and be like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm just on my period. And the other part of me is like,
let me feel it all.
The other part of me is like, my period won't hold me down. Fuck you all.
Yeah.
Like, don't want to talk about it because it's such a, also like, oh, you're on your period. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, I am. But I can't tell you. Like, it's a real bind.
I've taken to just telling people I'm bleeding. It's just like,
I like it.
I'm sorry, I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
Because my friend started texting me when she would get her period as a joke. And then in like the snort thread, which is just like a group of like 13 of us who are all friends. Sometimes I'll just write it in there just as like an announcement
just throw it out,
so everyone knows I'm going to be a bitch for like the next month.
Yeah, but it still feels like outside line. Of like friend groups and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not really something you can talk about. And I feel like if you were to announce at the workplace.
Shit, yeah.
I don't know. Especially when, like, I don't know, because you're a comedian, right?
And yeah.
I mean, I guess you're performing, but how does your, like, do you feel like your mood sometimes, because you have to be like on.
Yeah. Sometimes I've said it on stage. I'm sorry, we've got PMS.
Yeah, as an audience, you fucking suck. Unrelated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really, I mean, definitely I perform all the time when I would rather not be. And I don't know how much of that is like hormonal or how much I just actually don't like performing. hard to know. There are definitely days though where you feel like shit and you can tell you're like emotional because of your period and then you just have to go on stage and forget about it.
Yeah.
But you do pretty much forget about it. For ages I used to do these jokes just to test the water. Like, it's an interesting topic as a comedian as well. Like, a lot of people, I don't know, somehow women got that, like, stereotype that they talked about their periods all the time.
Mm.
But I don't know where that came from because I don't remember watching a lot of comedy that was all about your period.
Mm.
But also, that would have been amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It would be, like, fine.
Yeah.
That shit is funny. And, like,
fuck yeah.
Isn't the point of comedy is just laughing at shared experiences? Like, male 100%. Comedians make jokes about their dicks all the time.
I know.
And
I
no
know.
One's like, oh, male comedians talk about their dicks.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely leaned into it more now.
Good.
Like, if there's funny stuff around it, for sure. Just because that stereotype alone just really fucks me off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's bullshit. And then for ages, I used to do jokes about how I thought I had alpha ovaries that, like, people would sink to me.
That's the theory about sinking, though, right?
Yeah. That you sink to the alpha?
Were you the outward bound?
Yeah, I was the one outward bound.
You immediately sink to the alpha female in an effort to ovulate before her. So that,
is that true?
A competitive thing.
That's one of the theories of synchronizing.
That's amazing.
So that, if there was a man around that might want to impregnate you, that you could be in with a chance as well, not just... Old alpha ovaries over there.
That's really amazing. I did not know about this. Yeah. If anyone out there is an actual expert on any of this stuff, get in touch. Hashtag OTRpod. Hit us up on Facebook. This has been all speculation, pretty much.
It's all uneducated.
Big stuff about the moon.
Stuff I heard in a bar once.
Talking about uneducated, Tom O'Connor, period pain, not a female-only gig.
Oh, that was an article.
Yeah. Column to rival yours on the topic, Alice, I would say.
Oh, cool.
He said...
Loving that internet traffic.
Well, yeah, this was a frustrating thing about this article, and if you haven't read it, just Google Tom O'Connor and get ready to die. Because it was like, I want to share it and be like, what an idiot. But I also don't want to give them any traffic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I ended up caving. I wanted to go through a proxy server or something to like not. Is that how an engineer works?
I don't know.
I said two words.
Go on the dark web to share an article about periods.
Yeah.
The very first part, like the first maybe third of his story, I was like, oh, I'm like, this seems fine. It is actually really interesting to read about how periods affect the men in our lives, because they don't talk about it, obviously. They might talk about it with each other, but they don't talk about it with us. So I was like, oh, well, you know, this is a valid point. Like, you know, if you've grown up with a female partner and women in your family, then it has affected you in your life. And I thought he was just going to go on to just be all like super sympathetic and cool. It was just like this total like about turn about halfway through where he's just like, you're nothing special. Having a period is not an illness. You get nothing.
It just spirals. Kittens turn into dangerous tigress.
Oh, gross.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think, as Michelle pointed out in her counterpiece, I don't think this guy really knows any women.
Yeah.
They're all kittens and tigers.
I just assumed he was trolling people, to be honest, because the opinion seems so, I don't know, crazy to me that somebody who's never had a period in their life would like put themselves out there as the expert on it. It's such a strong opinion, and it's so dismissive and stupid.
That's the thing. But also, lots of people agree with him. Like, lest we forget.
That's true.
Like,
when Michelle
went on the project and talked about the crazy idea of like having tampons in a boardroom and stuff, and people just freaked out.
Did they?
Like, even at like kind of a jokey idea that is actually a great idea, you know? Like,
I think that there should be tampons available in workplaces, right?
I think it's a sign of a good workplace if there is.
Yesterday I forgot some and I had to go around the crew asking them, and I was like, it'd be so much easier if there was just like a cupboard.
Yeah.
You know what's the best thing is when like a restaurant has them.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
Restaurant bathrooms with like hairspray and tampons.
It's my favorite
kind of restaurant bathroom.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that people freak out. I have a bunch of friends who work at law firms and they have free tampons.
That's good.
You can just go to a cupboard and get them, and I feel like
law firms have got a lot of money.
They've got so much money. Yeah, too much money. In fact.
Well, at least they're woke enough to spend it on hygiene products.
And the right things. Because people are always like, oh, you don't get toilet paper for free. And I'm like,
not
yes,
a fair.
Yeah. But you do as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
If you wanted to,
it's true.
You could make a mint collecting toilet paper.
Yeah.
Use any public bathroom.
Yeah, that's
free.
So true.
It's a service that your local government provides.
Also, but I just don't think it's a fair comparison either. Like, it's just one of those things that creates like a fiscal inequality.
Yeah.
The fact that women have to spend money on these, on these products. It's just crazy to me. It's like, why don't we more heavily subsidize them or just make them freely available to anyone who wants them? So there's no like stigma attached to, you know, low income people getting their tampons or sanitary products or whatever they want. I should say sanitary products, because when I wrote that article, the most feedback I got was from Moon Cup aficionados who were upset that I hadn't spoken at length about Moon Cups.
Right.
And I was like, fucking hell. This didn't even occur to me. I was like, of course I'm not excluding Moon Cups from the conversation.
The dialogue.
But one woman messaged me on my Facebook page to be like, I've got 5 children and they all use Moon Cups and I use a Moon Cup and I run marathons with it. And if you want to know more about it, please feel free to contact me. I was like, I'm not going to contact a stranger about my Moon Cup use.
About the Moon Cup.
Yeah. Or lack of it.
Yeah. I didn't know the Moon Cup community was so mobile and
listen, angry. They're organized. They've got money behind them. And they've got an agenda.
Well, anyway, so PharmAc turned it down, right? So they said our scope does not fall within PharmAc's scope because it does not show a link to therapeutic benefits related to a health need. And I find that confusing because it's got...
Is it because it's like I don't know if this is true, but just from that, is it almost like it's not a solution to it's not fixing a problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just like accommodating that thing. Like, it's not giving you pain relief. It's not bringing it into your cold or whatever. It's something you would need. Like, it's never going to abate you having your period. You're just going to need it every time. There's no, I don't know. I mean, I think it's bullshit. I think they should, I don't know if PharmEC is the right institute for it, but I think the government certainly should be.
Yeah, I mean, maybe exactly. Maybe it was too easy for PharmEC to say, well, I can't tick this box, or this box,
right,
before
exactly.
we're saying no to this. In which case, someone else needs to freaking step in.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's their remit, then that's their remit. I agree that it's bullshit. And like you said, there's no comparison. Like, all comparisons are shit comparisons because there's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
And that's what's really frustrating, is because it only affects half of us. The other half don't understand what it is because they don't have a comparative experience.
But how mental is it that something can affect half of the population and still not be addressed?
And like, statistics like, you know, women, young women not going to school because they can't afford sanitary products, and that's the embarrassment disgusting. And the stigma of it all. It's just like, surely that's a health issue. I mean, that's an education issue.
Yeah.
But like, that's an intersection of like those two very important aspects of life, growing up.
Who funds like condoms and...
Well, someone in the office, I haven't done any research, I overheard someone in the office say that PharmEC bloody fund chocolate-flavoured condoms. Now, I don't know if that's true. But
yeah,
if that is true.
Subsidise condoms, don't they? Because if you go to a family planning centre or whatever, you come away with 1,000 condoms.
I guess, so what is that? The predict STIs and stuff, they're saying.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
couldn't you say that, like, if you had a period and you weren't using appropriate hygiene products for it, you might be at risk of, you know.
Yeah,
know,
sure.
Grossing people out.
Gross.
Which is a risk to everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like this kind of conversation and the conversations like we've been having, conversations that people have in private about periods and stuff, it's all going to help. Like, I feel like in 10 years' time, we'll look back on this and be like, that was crazy. We'll have free tampons like
everywhere,
raining down from the skies.
But yeah, it's not PharmEC.
What a wonderful world that will be.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
And mothers, when you're having that conversation, and fathers with your daughters, remember to be really specific about what to do with the used ones.
Yeah.
Because it turns out a lot of us weren't sharing our stories about how incompetent we were as children and not knowing how to dispose of things properly. Got to spell it out.
Well, also, to be perfectly honest, until recently I've been flushing tampons down the toilet. Because I thought that's what everyone did. And someone was like putting them in the bin. And I was like, who is this monster? And then I was talking about it with my friends. And they were like, oh, no, we all put them in the bin. We wrap them up and put them in the bin. And I was like, oh, okay. For ages, I thought that it was just fine to flush them down the toilet.
My friend flushed a pad down the toilet.
Oh, that's crazy.
That don't work.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She was young, though. We were like 14. It was in her own house, though, and she blamed it on her friend, which I thought was cool. She was like, it's not me.
It's so good.
But just another thing, where do sanitary bins go? What happens to
that? What happens to tampons when they die?
Shit, I don't know.
Is there just like a giant, like me with my bleach bucket? But like a huge
bucket? There is. There's a giant bleach bucket under the city.
Yeah.
What happens to any toxic waste, I guess? Do they get burned off?
I mean, I just don't know. And I actually don't know what happens.
Because the people come up with their little, with the hats and the outfits, and they take them away. They put them in their van.
I can't just be burning it all, because you're not allowed to do that to rubbish.
No, but you can't keep it. Or is that how, like, you know, those like fat bergs in the sewers? Or is that from flushing? You know, when like all the tissues and tampons are stuck together and make one of those giant monster things.
Thinking about that.
That's so gross. I once went to a water treatment plant and I felt that it was one of the more disgusting things I'd seen.
Why did you go there?
I used to work for Watercare.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the plants were, well, I should say they're well kept. They're well maintained. Just like the concept of like cleaning the sewage water. Was truly revolting to me.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, have to like bring it in and like fish out all of the stuff that's gross and then treat it and then pump it back into the ocean, as I understand it. But from that, I still thought it was fine to flush tampons down the toilet. Because I was like, oh, they'll just fish them out here.
Gotta give them something to do.
And you have to be especially careful if you live in like an old villa.
Right.
Because the pipes are all crappy. And then that's how you get blockages, speaking from experience.
Yeah.
And an all female flat and a pipe disruption and an actual tsunami of shit down all down the side of our house.
Oh no.
Oh my god.
It was
god.
So bad. And they were like, look, it's because you've got a cracked pipe, but also there was like a million tampons in there. Oh, this is terrible.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
What do you do if there's no bin?
Flush it down the toilet.
Flush it.
Good to know.
Or
it's Watercare's problem now.
Yeah, it's Watercare's problem now. I have, like, when I've been camping and stuff, I keep them in, like, a little toiletry bag.
Oh, yeah.
And then I take them home to dispose of them.
Can you not chuck them down a long drop? Or are you talking about camping without
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've done that, but I do remember coming home with just, like, a bag full of pads.
It's like smuggling drugs or something.
Yeah. It's like smuggling drugs. God, I was ashamed of it.
This is the shit we have to deal with, Tom.
Exactly. Yeah. Tom O'Connor.
And I have like a niece who's like 11 or 12, and now she's just like, no, she can't be 12. She must be 11. And she's just learning about it. And I try to talk to her about it to be like if I've driven, you know, when I'm driving her and she like opened my glove box and there were tampons in there. And she was like, oh, disgusting. And I was like, no, it's fine.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I was like, you don't need to like, do you want to like take one, look at it? And she was like, no, no. And she was like fumbling with it, trying to shut the glove box because she was in like such a panic about what she'd been confronted with.
How fascinating was the little pamphlet that came in tampon boxes?
Oh my God.
With the like the cross section of the lady.
The tube.
Thing going in.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
Yeah.
I'm still, because one of the diagrams is where you put like one leg up on a shelf or something. Yeah. I was like, who's ever in a bathroom where you're like, there's the perfect shelf to put my foot up on?
Yeah. In like, this scenario, all I'm doing is breaking the toilet lid.
Yeah, yeah. And they always paint it out as if like inserting a tampon is like this beautiful experience you've got all the time in the world for.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
She's like, always fully
lie
naked.
Down. Yeah, fully naked and tall and slim as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, battling with thighs that touch.
Yeah, she's fully naked. So it's like, go into your work bathroom and take off all your clothes.
Let your hair down. Yeah.
Light a candle. Find the nearest shelf.
Oh my God, I've never even thought about how she's naked before. It's killing me.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I really, the thing about it is that the best way to find out how to do it would legitimately just be to watch someone do it. But like, when are you ever going to get the opportunity to do that? Like, and would you ever want to? Like, it's quite a confronting thing. Confronting thing to see.
I think actually that is probably the thing that I got the most out of from health classes. Not that our health teacher showed us explicitly.
It's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, there was an inquiry into that. No, but she did even just sort of talk about like what angle you should hold it on and that you should sort of point it back and
to
the back rather
your
than
backbone.
Straight up.
Oh
and
God.
Like stuff like that. And I remember taking that away and actually like using it, and my mum didn't like tell me stuff that practical. She was just like, "This is what it'll be, and this is what you use." But like, actually having someone tell you, like, you know, get your finger all the way up there, yeah. point it in this direction. Yeah. It's like,
all that stuff's quite useful. Crazy.
It's really useful.
My teacher just picked up a tampon and went like this and dropped into a glass of water and went, there you go. And the tampon just like swelled. And I was like,
oh my God.
What's happening?
So they're just tiny brains are just sitting there processing a tampon turn into the size of a coffee mug inside of you.
Yeah. It's like in The Simpsons when the marshmallow like swells into the hot chocolate. I was like, no, my body.
Not helpful.
Yeah. You really have to start from nothing if you're explaining it to someone. Like, I almost feel like there's too much emphasis on like what's happening about like your uterine like wall shedding and like all of that stuff. Like that's the medical side of it, which is important, but it is the practical day to day dealing with it.
Mm. I've also almost so much more relevant. Forgotten Same. All of the medical explanation.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like I can't even conceive in my brain right now what it all looks like down there as well, like where the ovaries go in relation to the rest of it. Are they above it? No, they're to the side.
No, you've definitely come to the right people for this podcast, everyone listening. We should probably wrap up. I'm just looking at the time, but we haven't done any of our normal things. Do we have time to quickly go through our segments? About
periods.
I honestly, it's cracking me up. Cool tips. Do you have any cool tips from the month that you've picked up to share with
anyone? My cool tip is kind of gross, but practical. I have started going to the gym a lot, which means using gym showers a lot.
Yeah.
Which means having itchy feet, which is like something I didn't realize was actually a thing,
itchy but
is actually a thing, like athlete's foot from using communal showers. And so there's like 1,000 powders and creams and stuff you can buy, like antifungal things you can buy from the supermarket. But actually, soaking your feet in like half water, half vinegar, because bacteria can't live in like acidic environments, just cured it.
That's right.
So yeah, don't bother buying the creams. Just chuck some vinegar into a bucket.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Gross, but, you know, helpful.
I like when we eat those kind of like old wives-y things and they actually work. I use vinegar to get rid of a... soap scum. Not the same, but beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful white tiles.
Yeah.
What about you, Alice? Do you have any life
cool
hacks?
Tips? Yeah, I've recently discovered that a cooked chicken is about the same price as an uncooked chicken. So save yourself the hassle of cooking a chicken and just pick one up already cooked.
That's actually a great tip.
I legitimately, at about 10:30 last night, I bought a roast chicken and then I smoked some weed and I ate heaps of it.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
It was so dope.
It was actually my favourite food growing up was just a roast chicken. And so I actually made my parents stop giving me Easter eggs at Easter time. And instead I would get a whole roast chicken that was just mine. No chocolate. Just
I like that because I'm not really a sweet person either. I love savory food.
Yeah. And I was just like munching on that thing all Easter weekend.
Yeah, beautiful. Oh yeah, that's so nice. Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Would you though pass off your rotisserie chicken as one that you roasted yourself for like a Sunday roast?
I wouldn't, just because.
But would you buy a rotisserie chicken to present for a Sunday roast?
Oh, for sure. I would, for sure. But the other thing is now you can buy like chickens in those like oven bags and then you just put them in there and they're like pre-herbed and stuff.
Yeah.
Again, the other night, Rose and I put a chicken in the oven, but then I made a different dinner and then I got high and then I was like, there's a chicken in there. And then we were both just stoned eating this chicken out of it.
Oh my
fucking
God.
Oven tray like animals. Like, it's twice this week.
As far as this is so much chicken.
Eating roast chicken.
As far as snacks go, that's 100% paleo. So
yeah, that's true. I think that in my mind, I'm like, this is all protein.
It's a diet. Protein. I have nothing to top that. I've talked about my peeling feet a lot on a different podcast, on The Real Pod. My feet have been peeling for about 2 or 3 weeks now. No tips really. If you're going to use a baby foot peel or anything like it, I would just say resist the urge to peel beyond the borders. And you'll know what that means when you do it because it is painful. But it's also incredibly addictive. I have a lot of tiny skin piles all through my house. I'm in a lot of trouble at home. I've had to do a lot of vacuuming. But my feet look beautiful.
Like a baby's.
Absolutely. Same size and everything.
skin. I went down 3 shoe sizes.
It's beautiful.
It's quite a funny sketch idea, just a normal human-sized person with baby feet.
Any books or TV shows or movies you want to recommend before we go? I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale. It's really good, but really intense. And
isn't it crazy that Elizabeth Moss is a Scientologist?
Yeah.
She's actually in a cult.
It's crazy.
Prevented me from watching the show so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow.
Get my head around it. I'll watch it. I will definitely watch it.
Yeah.
I've just been watching season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, me too. Cool.
And it's everything. It's such a good season. And Valentina is just like everything to me.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Mm, mm. Love RuPaul's Drag Race. Because I feel like I started watching it because you talked about it on the podcast once.
Right.
We were talking about RuPaul. And he's just the smartest man.
He's amazing.
Like all the interviews with him and stuff and all the things he says about, like you were talking about, appropriating gay culture and all that stuff. And he's like, fuck it, you can take it. We've got shitloads. Like, we'll keep going.
We're fine.
And we'll do it better than you.
But we will call you out on your shit when you pretend to have invented voguing or whatever.
Yeah, and stuff like even like lip sync, taking lip sync battle and like that being on like late night shows.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that show's just real good.
Oh, actually, tangent, he is also a small character in Girl Boss. Have you watched that?
Yeah, I don't really like it.
I watched all of it. Did you watch the whole thing?
I think maybe 5 episodes.
Right.
Five episodes.
I watched the whole season last weekend and like the first couple of episodes, just like her like white privilege tantrums that she had every episode just like really started to fuck me off.
Yeah.
But like all of the characters around her, I thought were really cool and really well written. So I just kept watching it.
Mm.
And I think overall, I actually quite enjoyed it and I'd quite like to watch the next season.
Oh, cool.
But she needs to stop having fucking tantrums about, like, you know, just really dumb shit that doesn't matter because it's really frustrating to watch.
Mm, mm.
Is the girl who that's based on, she's not white, is she?
Sophia.
I think so.
Oh, is she?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was going to say that would be a weird casting.
She's Kenyan.
Yeah.
Hollywood again.
Yeah.
And its tricks.
Oh, man. The thing I watched most recently was Big Little Lies and then 13 Reasons Why, which I know everyone has got their opinions on, rightfully.
Got
so,
about that.
Yeah, I think they're probably all right.
Mm.
And I just, but I still watched it.
Did you enjoy it? Were you like this?
I can't tell, to be honest.
Yeah.
I kept watching it because I thought, I don't want to spoil it, but because I thought she wasn't dead. I thought there would be like some twist, but there's no twist. It's definitely just like this glorification of suicide.
Yeah, I stopped watching it because I was just taking too long. Listen to all the tapes in one go.
Yes, that's also very annoying.
That's
what
annoyed me.
That? Yeah, that's crazy.
Is it 13 episodes long?
Yeah, but they're like 57 minutes.
That's a lot.
It's so long.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, you're right. If I could take it back, I would.
Barata.
Yeah.
A shout out as well to the Equalize My Vocal stuff that's happening this weekend. We're going to try and get this up real fast. So if you're listening to this just after we've uploaded it, Leonie's doing a panel in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Get in now. It's at Samoa House on K Road.
And there's also stuff tomorrow and like a gig, I think, tomorrow night.
Yeah, there's a party at Whammy Bar to celebrate. There's a second panel kōrero tomorrow afternoon at Samoa House, and both panels are a combination of women and non-binary people having a really frank conversation about being diverse in the music industry.
Cool.
It's going to be really good.
So lots of cool musicians, there's DJs, and then, there's a big party tomorrow night at Whammy.
And if you want to read the rest, I mean, Coco's been doing so much.
Yeah, so it's all been curated and organised by Coco Solid. And so there's a Facebook page, Equalize My Vocals. She's done lots of really cool interviews with people as well. Lots of really great conversations coming out of her brainchild to do this. Yeah.
Mm. And that's it, I think. Yas Queens for the month.
Oh, shit.
Oh, what is this?
It's like a Yas Queen.
Oh, okay.
Do you have anybody? I just want to give a shout out to Eleanor Bishop, who wrote the play Boys that I saw.
Oh, yeah, I heard good things.
It was incredible. Her and I think Julia Croft directed it, and it was in the kind of youth festival of ATC, and it was like this amazing reimagining of Forskin's Lament, which I haven't actually seen and I don't know anything about, but I know the title. Yeah. And it's kind of about New Zealand masculinity deconstructed and updated with women, shockingly, this time. And really good. I really hope they bring it back. And if they do, you should go and see it.
Cool. So,
yeah, that's kind of my shout out.
My shout out is just, I guess it's just like what I remember, but I read this really amazing story by this Guardian writer called Marina Hyde this morning, just totally owning this GQ cover feature on Brad Pitt, where he's taken out to the desert and into a cave, and he's had all of these really Tumblr photo, this Tumblr photo shoot done of him. And the whole story tries to frame him as this like, Samuel Beckett heroine, and then this woman, Marina Hyde for The Guardian, just absolutely destroys both the writer and the photographer, but not Brad, because she feels bad for him because he's currently like totally emaciated and obviously having a tough time post-divorce. And so she feels like he's been taken advantage of by GQ because it's like he's basically crying and in the fetal position in a lot of the photos. But then it's got these like tags about who he's wearing in all of them. It's hella weird and exploitative if you can, you know, exploit a billionaire heartthrob. But yeah, it's really great. And her the piece that she's written is just mwah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw a headline. I don't know who it was, but they had been like, Brad Pitt does his own Beyonce's Lemonade.
Yes.
Oh, everyone was like, oh, you really want to say that?
No. Why would you?
No.
Shit.
Okay. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Oh yeah, can I plug my show?
Yes, that's what we wanted to do.
If this airs before the show,
it will.
16th to 20th of May at the Basement Studio, 7 PM.
Yeah.
There are tickets. Oh boy, there are tickets still available.
Is your show have a name other than just your
it's
name?
Called self-titled.
Debut self-titled album from Alice Nevin.
Yeah. It's all going to be about me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Excellent.
And periods, we presume.
And periods. Yeah. Okay. I think I do have a period joke in there, so come for that.
Excellent.
Yeah. And
leave after that.
Leave after that, yeah. Leave during all my misogynist content.
Awesome. And thank you very much, Alice, for Thanks coming for along me. Last minute. I know your back's out and you're very busy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was late. You can tell them. I was horrifically late.
And Mad for recording. And thank you to Bon for sticking with us through all of this content. Supporting us.
We love
talking,
you, Bon.
Rambling and laughing. Go support Bon and make sure you subscribe to us if you're not already. And pass it on to a friendly old mate who might like us.
Yeah.
You know, someone who's not listening.
Yeah. Oh, and I should say Bon is of the heart. Listen to that too.
And Bon is of the heart.
Yeah. Sorry.
I
forgot to do that.
Yeah.
Of course.
Very funny. Very funny. These are the only two podcasts you should listen to.
Yeah, exactly.
On the Rag and Boners of the Heart.
Those two things combined, you don't need any other information from anywhere else.
They may bring on your period.
All right, and we'll chat to you next month. I fucked it up. Bye.
Bye.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.